The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Today, the Charlie Kirk Show. Donald Trump indicted and 18 others. There is no going back. This might bother you. And you say, boy, I just wish we could have the country we grew up in. Well, too bad. That country no longer exists. So you have a choice. Are you going to complain about it, or are you going to do something about it? And for a lot of you, it's a pretty daunting task. We get it. But if this is overwhelming to you, get out of the way, because we have a country to save. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Citizen Kane joins us to discuss the Sunshine Patriots need to get out of the way. We are entering a moment of bitterness. Speaker Gingrich understands this the best. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. The state of Georgia, the Donald John Trump, Rudolph William Louis Giuliani, John Charles Eastman, Mark Meadows, Jeffrey Clark, Jenna Ellis. It goes on a RICO statute. I go to bed early and I wake up early for the program. Early for me is like 8:30 or 9. You know, some of you, I used to be a total night owl before I started doing this program on the West Coast. I had to rewire myself. I'm not naturally that way, but don't allow your nature to dominate you. That's a good lesson for life. Anyway, all of a sudden I'm about to go to bed. I have this whole thing planned. I was going to keep on reading None Dare Call It a Conspiracy, which is a great book, and we are going to review it, by the way. It feels as if that book was written 2 years ago, not 1972. And all of a sudden, my phone starts lighting up. Charlie, they're going for it. I said, what are you talking about? It's 11 o'clock Eastern. What do you mean? They're going for it. And so I turn on MSNBC, intentionally, by the way. Intentionally. And you have the man-woman, Rachel Maddow. You have the woman-man, Chris Hayes. You got Lawrence O'Donnell. You have Andrew Weissman on set, and you got the other intel spokespeople there for the intel agencies. And the first takeaway is they're giddy. I felt like I was watching a local news broadcast when a sports team wins a divisional title. That's what I felt like I was watching. Like they were rewatching the highlights. Wasn't that amazing when Josh Allen broke that tackle? Wasn't it incredible? That's what I felt like I was watching. I felt like I was watching WGN News in Chicago when the Bears beat the Packers, a very rare thing to happen, unfortunately. That's what I felt like I was watching. Rachel Maddow had to stop herself from just putting her hands in the air. Yes, we did it. They had these guests on after guest where this is a very impressive piece of work by Fannie Willis. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Fannie Willis. Fannie. Because she doesn't want us to call her Fannie Willis, apparently. Is she going to indict us because we mispronounce her name? Not a joke. I mean, we read this indictment, which I have a lot of takeaways here, as you can imagine. I have the whole thing. We've read the whole thing. Mr. Blake, in 90 minutes. It was unbelievable. He read the whole thing, had it synthesized. We were sending out tweets, fire tweet after fire tweet. He did a great job. And this is not an exaggeration. This is not hyperbole. This is an attempt to nullify the United States Constitution. I'm going to read some parts of the indictment here, the specifics, which I think are extremely necessary to understand what we're dealing with. How about this one? On December 3rd, 2020, Donald John Trump caused to be tweeted from the Twitter account, Georgia hearings now on OAN, amazing. This was an overt act of in furtherance of the conspiracy. Watching cable television is the furtherance of a conspiracy in Fulton County, Georgia. Just to remind you, this is a local DA. A local DA. While violent crime is going up crazy in Atlanta, this is a local DA that is indicting a former president. How about this one? Gee, what a surprise. Has anyone informed the so-called governor, Brian Kemp, and his puppet, Jeff Duncan, that they could easily solve this mess? So easy. Fannie Willis says this was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. Rudy Giuliani stated, Georgia Patriot, call to action. Today is the day we need you to call your state house and representatives. A constitutional right, by the way, to petition your government. Fannie Willis writes, this was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. Mark Meadows, this is one of the most unbelievable ones, texted United States Representative Scott Perry from Pennsylvania, a good man. Can you send me the number for the Speaker of the House in the Pennsylvania legislature? POTUS wants to chat with them. This was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. Wait, so the local DA in Georgia has jurisdiction over sending a text message to somebody in Pennsylvania, and he wants to have a chat with the Speaker of the House in Pennsylvania, and that's an overt furtherance of a criminal conspiracy. Even if all these charges are dismissed, they're still going to have to spend tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars defending themselves. John Eastman, Mark Meadows, Jenna Ellis, Donald John Trump. This is not justice, everybody. This is seething, neurotic revenge. Revenge against Donald J. Trump for even daring to run for the presidency. For even daring to be a successful president. They're trying to send a message that if you even dare to step up and to challenge the orthodoxy in DC, you will be indicted all the way across the board. All the way across the board. And let me tell you what's really going on here, because this is deeper than just the indictment. This is a top-down exhaustion campaign. Are you fatigued? Are you tired? Well, it's intentional. No, that's not. It might have sounded like I was promoting a pharmaceutical drug. Are you fatigued? Are you tired? Ask your doctor about. This is psychological warfare, and it has not stopped since a certain day. The Cultural Revolution had a starting point, and it has been relentless. What was the starting point? It has not let up from the absolute tragedy of the 2020 election, to Floydapalooza, to the taking down of our statues, to the sexualization of our kids, to January 6th, to the pretrial defendants put in a gulag, to lockdowns, to masks, to vaccine mandates. It has not stopped, but the starting point is worth remembering. This was ready, set, go. From this point forward, you have been participating, whether you realize it or not, in a surround the city exhaustion campaign to invoke your surrender, to break your will, and to crush your spirit. This is when it started. Play cut 45.
This guidance for the next 15 days is what our experts say is the best opportunity we have to lower the infection rate over the entire course of the coronavirus. And we're calling on every American to do your part, because together we'll get through this and we'll find our way forward.
15 days to slow the spread. They have not stopped since 15 days to slow the spread. 3.5 years later, where you thought we'd get our country back, you thought things would normalize, you think we'd get to some place of serenity. They have a plan and they are going for it. And the plan is that they believe the only way forward is through. There is no retreat for them. They have to do this. They have to. They do this as a nonstop psychological projection exercise. They have too many crimes, too many misdeeds, that if we ever get power back, they know that they're going to be exposed. So the only thing they can do is nonstop offense, nonstop. And we as conservatives, like, what is going on? What? Why are they acting like this? Because they went for it. With 15 days or so of the spread and the lies about COVID and the smearing about ivermectin and the masks, the lockdowns, the kids in schools, Floydapalooza, racial justice, reconfiguring the story of America, 1619 Project, gender reassignment surgery, pride, trans, all of that. It's all orchestrated and harmonized. And last night in Fulton County is just the latest chapter in the story of can we permanently take over the country? It's either we win or we lose. There's no ties. There's no brokering peace. There's no happy landing here. Either the bad guys win or we win. Most Republicans refuse to acknowledge that. I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com. 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed. Not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what his life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. I'm going to play Newt Gingrich's tape in a second. I really respect Speaker Gingrich. He's an institutionalist. So the way he is speaking is notable. He's going on Hannity's program. I really like Sean. Sean's been really good to me throughout the years. And Newt goes on Sean Hannity's program, and he's speaking like Charlie Kirk show, like Bannon's war room. Understand this, that not every Republican elected to an attorney's general office or DA is a bad person. There are some that are bad and they're purchased. But they, out of nowhere, are now in a political environment completely foreign to them. They're confused. I mean, I just spoke to a red state attorney general. I was really angry this morning, and I called him. I said, why are you not doing anything? And he did not have an answer. Charlie, I don't understand. He said, they're overreaching, but it was clumsy wording. And he's not a bad person. He's not trying to do evil. But what I told him is that all the old rules are gone. They don't exist anymore. And so you're either going to be perpetually politically irrelevant and culturally irrelevant, or you're going to do something. I believe firmly that this was all targeted. This is why they had to put Ken Paxton on notice in Texas. Ken Paxton was trying to do something in Texas. So they had to drum up all that nonsense to make an example saying, hey, you step out of line, you're going to have your entire reputation smeared. Isn't it interesting they go after Ken Paxton in Texas while simultaneously they have all of this happening on the state level? If you are an elected Republican and you are scared or you are bothered by what is going to need to happen next, you are a sunshine patriot. I'm not even going to fault you. Just get out of the way. Resign and say, I don't have the stones, I don't have the spine, I don't have the fortitude, I don't have the willingness. I prefer a comfortable life. I prefer to go back to be a lawyer, to do property law. That's admirable. I prefer to go be on an elder church board. I'm not going to fault you. In fact, I will thank you for telling the world and acknowledging that you are not up for this. There is not a single Republican AG, even the ones that we like to highlight, that is doing what the Democrats are doing. Because these Republican AGs are like, well, you know, That's not how we do things in Louisiana or Alabama or Mississippi. Hold on a second. You have Fannie Willis with an 18-count indictment destroying people's lives. You have Dana Nessel in Michigan going after Michigan alternate electors. Will a single Republican DA or attorneys general do anything? And by the way, I do have to brag on this program. We are the only show that has been saying this repeatedly for the last year and a half. Repeatedly. And I'm not one to overly brag on things that we do on the show, but I will say we have moved the Overton window significantly. Dozens of podcasts on this very topic. Tweets, and now it's mainstream. Finally, took an indictment of Donald Trump for this to be mainstream. But if you are a gutless wonder, Vichy French Republican attorneys general, and you get really nervous and you shake like a leaf about the idea of possibly going after or even investigating any one of the myriad of crimes, like, for example, in Florida, James Biden, the brother of Joe Biden, allegedly did some nefarious stuff in Florida. Let's investigate it. Or how about how Antifa has been transporting people across state lines to execute domestic terrorism and all the nonprofits involved in that? There's not a Republican attorneys general that is even willing, because they know that they're going to get bad articles written about them in the New York Times. And I get it. This is not how the country used to be. You see these Republicans that become attorney general. AG, by the way, stands for aspiring governor, not attorneys general. They don't really want to do anything. They want to be like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll go after the rapists and the arsonists. They didn't sign up for this. And in some way, I have compassion for them, because they're all of a sudden thrust into a gladiator arena. They're thrust into the Colosseum, and they're like, this is way more brutal and harsh than I realized. That's okay, pal. Just go home. I mean that. Go serve on your local community college board. Go make a nice living. And then go find a young patriot who's willing to really fight. Get out of the way. Because Fannie Willis, Alvin Bragg, Jack Smith, this is just the beginning. Dana Nessel. This is not, they've overreached and it's going to be a backlash. No, it's not. You don't understand Marxist philosophy at all. Forward is the only way. Progress. And they're just getting warmed up. Listen, as students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest, most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. And these days, in addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you and me. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from my friends at Hillsdale is through InPrimus, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. My listeners can sign up for free at this special website, which is available for a limited time. It's at charlie4hillsdale.com. I look forward to InPrimus each month, and you can too. It's interesting, useful, and free. The best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale and InPrimus at charlie4hillsdale.com. They're an excellent college, America's greatest college, charlie4hillsdale.com. Joining us now is Citizen Caney. He runs citizenfreepress.com, which is the best news aggregator on the right. Citizen Caney, thank you for taking time. We actually spoke last evening. You took 10 minutes off, Caney, and you said, what's going on? And I was reading off the indictment. Caney, how you doing?
4 hours sleep. I've got Gatorade and chocolate milk next to me, and I'm ready for battle. And, you know, regarding those 10 minutes, it was all being broadcast on Fox News on Hannity, right? And he came out and he said, the indictment's sealed. We've got 3 hours and another hour passed. So, yeah, I took a 10-minute break to eat, and everything broke.
Everything broke. So it's an 18-count indictment. Caney, I hate to do the I told you so stuff, but I'll do this. The we told you so stuff. You've been coming on this program for 6 months. We've been trying to warn people that Georgia is coming. Georgia will be the widest reaching, most aggressive indictment. Here we are. What have we learned?
Well, we've learned that Republicans are under attack. We've learned that under no circumstances can you question an election. Charlie, you and I are lucky we're not in this indictment. It sounds like if you give people direction and send people to watch certain election shows on OAN, or Newsmax, or that's Fox News, that you could be indicted on this count. It is an absolute travesty. You've got You've got Merrick Garland doing nothing. Haven't heard a word from him. You've got Joe Biden going to the beach. You've got regime media ignoring all of the Hunter Biden scandals, and Nancy Mace going on Face of the Nation and saying that the total is actually greater than $50 million that the Biden bribery scheme involved. So you've got all this going on. This was all tossed out. And I wanted to, before I forget it, you know, one of the angles you've been asking me about and pushing for the last 3 months is there communication? Is someone controlling this? Is Jack Smith speaking with Fannie Willis? Well, it was interesting. There was a question. I watched the full, I was up till 4:45 working on the stack last night. So I watched the full Fannie Willis, and I will not call her Fonny, by the way.
Willis
press conference. I watched the full thing at around 4 o'clock in the morning, and someone asked her about whether or not she had been in contact with Jack Smith. And she did not like, she didn't appreciate the question, and she basically said no comment. So I think there that, and the question was related to the timing of the trial. So I think, you know, your supposition is correct. There has been some communication.
Oh, yeah. There's somebody that's harmonizing them. There's someone that's coordinating. It might not be Jack Smith himself, but maybe it's Andrew Weissman, who tends to have suspicious, let's just say, information before it breaks. There's got to be an offensive coordinator to this entire thing. So I want to play a piece of tape here. I actually saw it on the stack first, citizenfreepress.com. Newt Gingrich had some of the sharpest commentary, and I want to remind you, the audience, Newt Gingrich is an institutionalist, and I don't mean that as a pejorative. I don't mean that as a negative. It's that when Newt Gingrich starts speaking like this, you really should take notice, because what Newt Gingrich says is that we are entering a generation of bitterness. I completely agree. I've been trying to tell people as I travel, because, you know, I get people come up to me at events. They say, Charlie, you know, all we need is to win one election and everything's going to solve this. Like, no. You don't understand. This is going to be a generation of struggle, of tumult, of tension. And people don't like that truth, Citizen Kate. People don't like to hear that. Instead, they want to hear that, you know, happy days of Narnia will return. Okay, I want to play this here first. It's a multi-part pieces of tape. I want to play 29, and then I want to play 31. Play 29, please.
And I think we are drifting towards the greatest constitutional crisis since the 1850s and the rise of secession and the Civil War. I don't mean that as hyperbole.
And Newt is a historian. For him to say this, Kane, is not, you know, this is not Twitter for Newt Gingrich. He's extremely careful with his words. He's a prudent thinker. He's very measured is the word I'm looking for. Play cut 31, and then I want your reaction.
So what you're seeing across the country is a desperate last-ditch effort by a corrupt machine to destroy their most dangerous opponent in a way which not only breaks the Constitution, destroys the rule of law, and establishes a moment of bitterness, which I think will last for a generation or more. I think this is going to be a horrendous period, and we just need to understand the people who want to control America and dictate to the rest of us will break any law, lie about any topic, and manipulate the system any way they can, and that includes a lot of the elite news media.
Now, is that Rush Limbaugh or is that Newt Gingrich? That's a message that you would hear on talk radio, not from a former Speaker of the House, Citizen Kane.
Yes, I was watching it live on Hannity and didn't get the clip up in the stat probably until 3 o'clock. Maybe it was 2:30 in the morning, but I had the same reaction as you. You know, I'm not going to call Gingrich a rhino, but he's an institutionalist. That's an excellent way to describe him. And he's measured. In fact, he's so measured that he told Republicans earlier this week to take it slowly with impeachment. And there was some negative pushback on that. So to hear these words from him, it obviously I jumped up in my chair. I mean, I was watching everything very, very closely. But yeah, Gingrich, you know, when Gingrich is saying these things, you know, the Rubicon has been crossed.
That's right.
And he's 100% correct about what you mentioned, too, this sort of generation of bitterness that's ahead. This, you know, it's a stupid cliche, but the Pandora's box has been opened. I mean, it's now we're going to charge our political opponents. So when and this is obviously an extremely sad situation. I don't want to enter this period when Democrats are being charged because Republicans are in power and vice versa. But there's no choice. We have to take revenge at this point. We have to punch back. State attorney generals, Texas, Florida, South Carolina. There are places where things can start happening. And it, none of it's yes, happening. And you talked about it a little bit before because Republicans don't want to get negative press. We don't want to have bad things written about us by regime media.
That's right.
It's ridiculous. And hopefully that, you know, hopefully there's some people with some backbone this morning and that's ending. But yes, Newt Gingrich showed us that, that we've entered a new time and this indictment. You know, I'm ready for battle. That's how I feel. I'm ready for battle, Charlie.
Well, and Kane, I just, the audience just doesn't always like when I speak like this, but I don't care because it's true. Because look, there are a fair amount of people in our audience, 70, 80 years old, served in the military, mm-hmm. paid their taxes. They remember an orderly America. They remember an America where institutions were trusted. I'm not even saying they were worthy of trust, but let's just say they were trusted. I was born into an America in 1993 in a high trust society. I was raised to look at police, government, as yeah, there might be some problems, but they're not rigged against you. It's not like they've been taken over hostily. For me,
everything's changed.
Yeah, for me, this is not a hard shift because also I was raised why they lied about Iraq. They lied about the recession. Obama lied all the time. They've lied about the NSA. They've lied about the national debt. They lied about COVID, lied about masks. So for me, I really don't have a lot of muscle memory. I have to deprogram Citizen Kane. But mm-hmm. some people in our audience, God bless them, I feel for them. This is cognitive mm-hmm. dissonance territory. They say, what do you mean multiple generations? Because they have a memory, Kane, of a country that unfortunately no longer exists.
And a media that no longer exists. That's a huge part of this, as you make clear almost every day on your show. When the media allows this, when the media takes sides, when you have 95% of all print and television news against one candidate, I really feel like the Rubicon was crossed in 2016. It's as though it gave the regime media an excuse that they've always been looking for. They've been waiting for this yes. chance when they could completely drop all pretense of objectivity.
Yes.
Gone. Boom. Trump is our reason. The ends justify the means. The orange man is so bad that we can now break every norm. We can break every rule. We can do things that we've never been able to do before. This guy is our salvation. We can use our hatred of him
Bingo.
And rile up this hatred in the American populace. And we can use that to finally start taking sides. And so as the media has broken down over the last 7 years, you've seen a further breakdown of our institutions. As you talked about watching MSNBC last night, it was like a cheerleading show. They were laughing, slapping, looking back on it.
It was Sunday NFL countdown. It really was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like watching, you know, skinny Rex Ryan and Randy Moss chat about, you know, that they're in the leaderboard of the picks for, you know, the NFC West.
Yeah.
So Kane, I want to just reemphasize how deep and how profound what you just said is. What Kane just said is against what almost every person on the center right believes. So the center right or the Uniparty or the Chamber of Commerce crowd, they say that Donald Trump as a disruptor made the media lose its mind. What Kane is saying is different and it's super smart. It's that the media has always been radical. They've been looking for an excuse to take their masks off. And Trump gave them that excuse. That they've always hated the country. They've always had bitter resentment for the homeland. But Donald Trump coming actually said, okay, now we can be who we are. Now we don't have exactly. to hide it anymore. That is completely different than the Uniparty telling of 2015 and 16, where they say, well, Donald Trump, he came and he smashed it. And it's understandable because he's just so this. And if we get rid of Trump, no. They've always been this way. These are Marxists and they've increased in ranks and they've gotten crazier, not because of Trump, but because now they use Trump as an excuse to be who they've actually always been. Okay, so Hillary Clinton goes on the Rachel Maddow program. And yeah, they say, oh, it's just a coincidence that she was scheduled to appear. You understand Hillary is never going to jail. The audience doesn't like it when I say that, but I've been saying it for years. You know how much hopium has been out there? Oh, we're one step away from the Clintons being indicted. No, because the Republican Party does not want to win. The Republican Party's afraid. They're scared. They shake like a leaf if anything important ever comes across. Hillary Clinton will not go to jail. It's not going to happen. Donald Trump might. Citizen Kane, your reaction.
Well, yeah, it was a farce. And I put three or four clips, or actually I think I put two clips up of Hillary. But I want to direct people before we get back to Hillary. You know, I was just like you, I was watching everything last night. Mm-hmm. And Cash was fantastic. So there are two short clips on Citizen Free Press right now in the stack that people should watch. One's like 45 seconds. And he does, and the other's probably about 2 minutes. He does a really, really good job of breaking it down. Back to Hillary and Rachel. I don't even sort of want them airtime. How can this woman, you know, as you know, Charlie, this is the woman who John Brennan, CIA, knew was creating a false story of Russian collusion on Trump before the election in 2016 because she couldn't handle the heat, all the heat about her email server. So you have the CIA and the White House was made aware of it. I've posted stories. You've talked about how Obama and Biden were both aware because John Brennan made them aware that the CIA had learned about this plot that the Clinton campaign, but it didn't matter. The FBI and Comey were happy to sort of begin this completely ridiculous. So that's a ridiculous investigation of Trump. So that's what I was thinking is I'm watching Matt Cow and Hillary laughing last night. You know, I also put one thing up, right? in one of the Hillary clips, we can win this still, Charlie. It's not over. We're here. We're taking flack. We're getting shots. We're dealing with things that no generation should have to deal with. And you know how we win? We elect Trump in 2024.
No, that is correct. I want anybody in the audience to tell me what the other plan is. There is only one plan, right? And it's a tough one. Okay. But this needs to be the greatest consolidation of the sucking up of your own ego and pride for the country. There is one path. People say, oh, well, we could do hearings. Waste of time. Oh, well, we could do maybe defunding some of the stuff. The House won't do that. Just to be honest, the House is going to do a CR, run to the hills, go back to their districts. So I'm just going to try to tell you the honest truth. The one chance we have is November 2024. Donald Trump might be in a prison cell. Kane, can you walk through that, by the way? The timeline, it's not inconceivable. By the time ballots go out, Donald Trump is in a prison cell. What do you mean by that, Citizen Kane?
Yeah, no, that is not unrealistic, but you're absolutely correct. And I'll get to the timeline in a second. Something that Gingrich said last night that, there's the 4 hour sleep. That thought just went. So we'll go back to the timeline. Fannie Willis wants his trial in 6 months. There's no chance it's happening. Cash Patel has laid it out. He believes these complex RICO cases with 18 separate defendants. There are so many complexities involved that sometimes these cases can drag on 2 to 4 years before they eventually come to trial. He said that jury selection alone, when you're dealing with 18 different defendants, that can take up to 6 months. So the timeline for this is still likely to be Alvin Bragg, Manhattan first. Then in May 24th, we have the I think it's May 24th. Mm-hmm. We have the Mar-a-Lago case. We'll see. I think Fannie Willis actually is going to go last. I think this one is going to be the most complicated. I don't think it's going to come till next summer. But if the January 6th case comes early, if Jack Smith is able to get what he wants, yes, Trump could be easily convicted in D.C. Then he would be. I don't think he would go to prison while it's held out on appeal. It would be appeal to the D.C. to the D.C. Circuit Court. I'm not sure what number that is. And then it would eventually be appealed to the Supreme Court. And hopefully Trump would be allowed to stay out of jail while he awaits for those appeals. Oh, I remembered it now. So Gingrich's point, he brought up his very first election. It was against Cheney, and Cheney had a heart attack. And he talked about how the Cheney surrogates said everyone with cardiac problems come out and campaign for Dick Cheney because he's in the hospital. So Gingrich last night said we need 15 million Trump prison surrogates. If they put Trump in prison, that's going to motivate our base, and you're going to have this groundswell, or we could have this groundswell of all these millions of citizen campaigners out there doing Trump's work for us.
Look, you have to know the plan. Right now, the Republican establishment, they want Trump to lose. Their plan is to go down in a blaze of glory and say, see, 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 and they point fingers at Trump. That's a deeper topic. We are not the right is not investing in ballot chasing or any of that stuff. They want Donald Trump to lose. The question is, will the people rise up? Citizen Kane, God bless you, man. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Want to hear your reaction to this episode? So email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.